जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। If you don't mind, can you get me a Bhagavad Gita, please? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 पुरंजना बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट 62। अहम् भवान् चान्यस्त्वम् त्वम् एवाहं विचक्ष्व भो ननौ पश्यन्ति कवयस् छिद्रं जातुमनागपि। अहं भवान् चान्यस्त्वम् त्वम् एवाहं विचक्ष्व भो ननौ पश्यन्ति कवयस् छिद्रं जातुमनागपि। अहं भवान् न चान्यस्त्वम् त्वमेवाहं विचक्ष्वभो ननौ पश्यन्ति कवयः छिद्रं जातु मनागपि। Ladies, please. अहम् आय भवान् यू न नॉट च आल्सो अन्यः डिफरेंट त्वम् यू एव सर्टेनली अहम् एज आई एम विचक्ष्व जस्ट ऑब्जर्व Bho, my dear friend. Na, not. Now, of us. Pashyanti, do observe. Kavayaha, learned scholars. Chidram, faulty differentiation. Jatu, at any time. Manak, in a small degree. Api, even. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Very interesting verse. My dear friend, I, the super soul, and you, the individual soul, are not different in quality. For we are both spiritual. In fact, my dear friend, you are qualitatively not different from me in your constitutional position. Just try to consider this subject. Those who are actually advanced scholars, who are in knowledge, do not find any qualitative difference between you and me. Purport. Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity are qualitatively one. There is no factual difference between the two. The Mayavadi philosophers are again and again defeated by the illusory energy because they think that there is no separation between the super soul and the individual soul, or that there is no super soul. They are also misled into thinking that everything is the super soul. However, those who are kavayaha, learned scholars, actually know the facts. They do not commit such mistakes. They know that God and the individual soul are one in quality, but that the individual soul falls under the clutches of Maya, whereas the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the controller of Maya. Maya is the creation of the Supreme Lord, Maya Srishta. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the controller of Maya. Although one in quality with the Supreme Lord, the individual soul is under the control of Maya. Mayavadi philosophers cannot distinguish between the controller and the controlled. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A sort of preamble that to go from conditioned state to an enlightened state, or from ignorance to knowledge, it requires the help of someone in knowledge. Or to say it differently, a person on his or her own cannot go from ignorance to transcendence. It is just not a ontologically viable process or fact. Although, by nature, the living entity is fully cognizant, fully knowledgeable, the conditioned state is so intense or so heavy that on one's own, one cannot remove that ignorance. There has to be the aid of a transcendental source. The example given is the wood. Contained within the wood is fire. It's latent fire. That fire cannot come out unless it is put in fire, or fire comes into contact with that wood. Like the wood on its own will not catch fire, although there is fire in the wood. So we are fortunate. In fact, that is why the position of guru is given such importance. Guru means one who can give us enlightenment. So we are studying from Srila Prabhupada's teachings. So this is our great fortune, because if one just went by the Sanskrit, it just says, Aham Bhavan Nachanyastvam, Tvam Eva Aham Vichakshvabho. It doesn't speak of the qualitative oneness and quantitative difference. One might accidentally fall into the trap of thinking about absolute oneness. So in the translation, Prabhupada helps us by qualifying the oneness as qualitative oneness. Here the super soul, or Krishna, is speaking to a bewildered person, Vaidarbhi. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to another bewildered soul, Arjuna. And interestingly, that verse from Bhagavad Gita is quite the opposite of this verse. It's chapter 2, text number 12. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa nachayvana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatav param. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Here he is focusing very clearly on the individuality between him and all the living entities. And it's the same Krishna, different feature, Paramatma, but same Krishna, speaking this verse, saying, just see, great learned persons understand that there is no difference between you and me. So one might say, hey, what's going on? Does it, this seems same person speaking contradictory things. Generally in this world, when the same person speaks contradictory things, we don't put too much trust in him or her. Because either they can't make up their mind, or they just go with the flow, whatever is the situation, they go according to it. Like they don't have their own conviction or principles. So this is about Krishna, and Krishna is considered Adiguru. That means there is no point in time when Krishna can come into illusion. Krishna can be bewildered by his own material energy. Here Prabhupada writes, there is a difference between the controller and the controlled. The difference is that controller, Krishna, is the source of Maya. The source cannot be affected by the emanation. If I create something, that creation cannot control me. I'm still the controller. So Krishna speaks very different things. So Prabhupada warns us that to understand Shastra, one should understand it in completeness. And in completeness, all paradoxes are resolved. Because when you understand the source, all the emanations from the source, even if paradoxical, can be accommodated. For example, the difference between good and evil. Source is the same, Krishna says, everything comes from me. Or here Krishna is speaking about individuality, and in this verse for today he is speaking about oneness. Both can be accommodated. However, there are certain philosophers called the monists. The monists cannot accommodate simultaneously two contradictory realities. So this is called Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. That you take only things that match your vision, and things that don't match your vision, you keep it aside. You ignore it, or you diminish it, you undermine it as illusory or material. So Ardha Kukuti Nyaya means half-hand logic. Half-hand logic, Prabhupada explains that there was a man who had a hen that used to lay golden eggs. And he was very happy with it. Every day, the hen would lay a nice, shining, golden egg. And he realized, you know, the backside of the hen is my, we call it the revenue side. The front end of the hen is my expense side. And any person who understands profit has two things to do, has to increase the revenue or decrease expense. Then you maximize profit. So he said, well, I don't like the expense side. I only like the revenue side. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this hen in half and discard the expense side. I don't like to feed it grain because I have to spend money feeding this hen grain. I only want what falls from its backside, the golden egg. And so when he cut the hen, actually he lost everything. So Prabhupada says half-hen logic means you don't like one side what scripture says, you only like one thing that fits exactly your idea, and you accept only those things from the scripture. So there are many apasampradayas or apasiddhantas that say, oh, we can also drink intoxication, we can drink all these intoxicated liquids because Lord Shiva also does. Lord Shiva drank poison. Or Lord Krishna performs Rasa Leela. So we can also perform Rasa Leela. So our teaching is, well, if you can lift Govardhan Hill, then you can also perform Rasa Leela. Just because Lord Shiva drank poison, it doesn't give you either the empowerment or the capacity to even drink little. Meaning not to imitate or just take some aspect of the Lord's pastimes and disregard the other pieces. Or like in scripture, just take what we like. In India, this is very famous, the Bhagavad Gita. What's the favorite verse from Bhagavad Gita for most Indian people? Do you know? If you meet Indian persons and you're extending, you know, the message of Bhagavad Gita, and they are stubborn about what they're doing, this is the verse they will quote for you every time. No, that is advanced. Yeah, what is that verse? You mention? The first line is all they quote. They don't quote the last line because it's too much detachment. Karma neva adhikaraste. They usually don't quote ma phaleshu kadachana. In their interpretation, that verse has these four lines. Karmanyevadhikaraste, 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 karmanyevadhikaraste. That's it. The same line repeated four times. Because ma phaleshu kadachana brings detachment and they don't like that. So they say, no, I'm not working for the fruit of it. Even if they say, no, I'm just supposed to perform my duty. Ma karma phala hetu. So if someone were to say to them, well, please work without any salary. Oh, no. They fight amongst themselves. I didn't get the promotion, this fellow got it. I didn't get a raise. Why? What's going on? What? They get entangled into all the politics at work. So they only take selectively something that matches their idea, and what the rest of the message is, they conveniently ignore. This is Ardha Kukuti. At least they're not even taking half. This is 1/4 kukuti. Yeah. So like that, in this verse, we should be careful. Prabhupada's helping us. When Super Soul is speaking to Vaidarbhi, that there is no difference between you and me, it means no qualitative difference. Another way to understand it is just obvious. If there was no difference, there's no need for Super Soul to speak. There's two here, always. The Super Soul speaking to the conditioned soul. If that was not the case, the Super Soul wouldn't manifest. Wouldn't be there to give instruction. One should just get instruction. Even when one were to get instruction, to hear that instruction, there has to be a source. By it means there are more than one, or there is two. There has to be a source of instruction and someone to receive the instruction. The source, if automatically is fully cognizant, cannot instruct himself who is conditioned. You understand? In simpler language, Prabhupada says that one who is bound by ropes cannot free himself. Although if you ask the person, do you know how to untie a knot? They will say, I know how to do it. But they cannot untie themselves. You have to have an enlightened source. So, these two verses speak exactly the same thing, except the emphasis is different. So the monists, here Prabhupada saying, the monists, they take or they emphasize only one aspect of the truth, that there is oneness. So we also agree, yes, there is oneness. But there is another aspect of the truth, that simultaneously there is a difference. And both together is the absolute truth, or both together gives the picture of truth. There is qualitative oneness and there is quantitative difference. So in this verse for today, the emphasis is on qualitative oneness. In Bhagavad Gita, there is the emphasis is on quantitative difference. Very important. Our whole Siddhanta is built on simultaneous oneness and difference. In fact, this resolves all contradictions that we might come across, or seeming contradictions that we might come across in scripture. There are many such examples in the Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad is filled with it. He runs, but he does not. He is inside of everything, he is outside of everything. He is very far, but very close. Tanejati, tannaijati. Taddure, tadantike. Tadantarasya, sarvasya, tadu, sarvasya, bahyataha. Both, all of these are simultaneously acceptable and they are true. Another example, this is important for us to hear, that there is qualitative oneness and difference. When we see this picture here, there's a picture of the Supreme Personality and all the residents of Vaikuntha are also here. So when Lord Krishna appears, Lord Narayana appears, he appears with the Vaikuntha Vasis. It's not one. More than one. And there's a description that they all look similar. They are four-armed. They have gorgeous helmets, waistbands or waist belts, golden silken cloth around their waist, beautiful long arms, beautiful lotus petal-like eyes, etc. Looking exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, there is Lord Narayana, who has a mark of Sri Vatsa on his heart, on his chest, and the Kaustubha jewel. So they all look similar, they all have the same form. This is the Sarupya forms. They all have similar forms, but they are individuals. When Ajamila saw the residents of Vaikuntha, he didn't see one, he saw four. And they were all Vaishnavas or liberated personalities. So there is simultaneous oneness and difference. Very important to understand. Otherwise people get caught. And in our practical day-to-day application, we should understand simultaneous oneness and difference. And so we sing, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimante. The Supreme Lord has eyes, has ears, has a mouth, yet any of these senses can perform the functions of all the other senses. It doesn't mean he's some homogenized something. Homogenized, formless something. No. Each sense is very powerful to do the function of every other sense. In fact, all the senses of the Lord are described and glorified in scripture. Lotus petal-like eyes, very nice sweet smile, ears decorated with shark-shaped earrings. So there is distinction. So I'm just saying the same thing in different ways. So Prabhupada brings us to the difference between knowledge and not complete knowledge or ignorance. Kavayaha and not. Kavayaha, learned persons understand that there is qualitative oneness and there is quantitative difference. Now this is important. Suppose there is no qualitative oneness at all. Suppose we accept only the other side of the picture, that the living entity and the supreme, or the absolute truth, are so distinct that there is nothing common. If there is nothing in common, then there is no concept of bhakti. There is no concept of relationship. Because there is nothing in common. This is important because in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes that love can be exchanged among species of the same or entities of the same species. So if we were not qualitatively one with the Lord, there is no idea of any exchange. So bhakti would not make any sense, or Krishna would not be approachable. So the concept of prayer, mercy, love have no meaning. Because if there's such distinction, who are we praying to? What is the meaning of mercy? Because there is something common, this is possible. Yet, on the other hand, if there is absolute oneness and no distinction, then what's the meaning of mercy? What's the meaning of compassion? Either. Who am I asking to be compassionate upon me? I am the Supreme. I am the most compassionate. That might be a conclusion, a wrong conclusion. So to understand these things carefully, properly, one has to understand that there is simultaneous oneness and difference. Otherwise, Krishna would not say, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Through bhakti, one understands me tatvataha, in truth. So some people profess that in the beginning, bhakti is a ladder, is a stepping stone. And the bhakti becomes so intense that one forgets one's own self and only thinks about the Supreme. And in that state, one's own individuality is lost. This is a nice way of saying the wrong thing. Because at no point in time does a person lose his individuality, although he's fully absorbed in Krishna. Hanuman never has the realization that I am Rama. And Hanuman is fully realized personality. It never comes to that conclusion, oh, I get it now, I am Rama. Never. Prahlad Maharaj never gets the realization, I am Lord Narasimhadev. Narada Muni never gets the realization that I am Narayana. And they're fully knowledgeable. In fact, we are studying what their teachings. So it's not correct. The definition of bhakti is not that one loses one's individuality. The correct definition is one understands that one is qualitatively one with the Supreme. And because of that qualitative oneness, they can exchange with each other. For example, just worldly example. We can exchange with other human beings. This is a conditional example or conditioned example. We can exchange with other human beings. We can say hello. We get a hello back or a cold shoulder back, something. But there's an exchange. We can speak to each other. We can express something to each other. But we cannot say the same to spiders. Hello, spider. The spider, you know, other than an awareness of danger, the spider doesn't have any other exchange with us. Not same species. There is nothing in common. However, on a spiritual platform, there is commonness. So when we give spider prasadam or the sound vibration of the holy name, there's an exchange at a spiritual level. And that's different. I'm not speaking of that for now. So because of something common, there can be an exchange. I can pray to Krishna and Krishna can give me mercy if he likes. I can offer something to Krishna and Krishna can accept something if he likes. I mean, Krishna says if I offer with love, I accept. Or he accepts. So there is qualitative oneness. Yet there is quantitative difference because there has to be an exchange. Without the difference, there is no exchange. And without exchange, there is no love. And without love, there is no ananda. So the soul's nature of sat, chit, ananda is completely invalidated if there is no exchange. There is one ananda in a cessation of material misery. It is one ananda. Or there is the ananda of understanding that I am not this material body. It's great happiness. It's called Brahmananda. But Brahmananda is not, our understanding, Brahmananda is not the ultimate happiness. It just someone says to us, you're not a mad fellow. Oh, that's great. But that's just the beginning of things. What do I do from here on? So then there is Sevananda, the happiness of service. Then there is Premananda, happiness of loving exchanges with the Supreme. And for that there has to be a quantitative difference. Otherwise one cannot experience Premananda, one cannot experience absolute happiness. So Kavaya, the first lesson here to Vaidarbhi is, you're not this material body. In fact, you and I have a ageless, timeless relationship because we are both spiritual. And one who is spiritual does not lament for something that's material, because that's the previous verse in the Bhagavad Gita as well. Ashocha nanvashochastvam pragyavadam shabhashase. There the word is pragya, here the word is kavayaha. Same thing. Pragyavadam shabhashase gatasun agatasunscha nanusochanti pandita. Gatasum means that which can go away. Agatasum, that which never goes away. Na anusochanti pandita. Because if something is anyway going to go away, what's the need to lament? And if you know that there is something that never goes away, there's no need to lament either. Na anusochanti. So real knowledge, real understanding, or real spiritual enlightenment or awakening is to understand that these two, qualitative oneness and quantitative difference, exist simultaneously. And that helps us perform every activity in our devotional lives. In fact, every activity in everything. When we go out for preaching service, all these are parts and parcels of Krishna. Qualitatively one, quantitatively different. That means everybody, every living entity has a place in bhakti. There's nobody who's disqualified from devotional service. What's necessary may be training. What's necessary may be a human form of life. But even otherwise, one can perform indirect devotional service. And it's that vision that allows a Vaishnava to engage everyone in Krishna's service. This is when Prabhupada teaches us utility is the principle. That's the understanding. That everybody has a place and an opportunity for performing service to Krishna. Yet Krishna is distinct. We have to offer service to Krishna. Without that distinction, one will fall into a trap. Trap of thinking either I am the Supreme or that everything and everyone is the Supreme. So then they can perform arati to the chair. They also do self-puja. It's called atma. Yeah, they do. There are certain monists who, when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is they look at the mirror. and they offer prayers to themselves. No, it's true. And they perform circumambulation of themselves. No, it's true. They do. There are persons like that. Because I am the Supreme. It's just that I've forgotten. So how can these two contradictory be simultaneously existing? I'm the Supreme, just that I've forgotten. So every morning I wake up, I'm the Supreme, I've forgotten. When I see kachoris, I forget. For example. So it doesn't, you cannot maintain. However, simultaneous oneness and difference between us and Krishna can easily be maintained. Not just easily, it just makes full sense. It's not only rational, but it's also spiritually true. Just because something is rational doesn't necessarily make it true. And similarly, just because something seems irrational doesn't make it false. You have to have a spiritual view, a spiritual perspective, to understand that everything rational is not necessarily true. Arjuna gives all rational arguments, and Krishna says, dismissed. And Krishna dismisses his whole rationality. And Krishna's pastimes seem irrational. How can a little baby suck the life air out of a massive demoness, Putana? How can a little young boy lift Govardhan Hill for 7 days on the pinky of his left hand? Irrational. Doesn't mean it's not true. So rationality or irrationality is not on the basis of mundane logic, it's on the basis of spiritual point of view. And for spiritual point of view, there has to be an outside source to awaken. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanai Shravanadi Shuddhi Chitte. Shravana, there has to be an external source for that love of Godhead to be awakened. Otherwise, it's not that one is walking on the street and randomly, suddenly, I become self-realized. Like that. It doesn't work like that. It never works like that. So some thoughts. Any comments? Anything to add? Yeah, Himanshu. Yeah. Well, it's not that one should be more than the other. They have different functions. But our connection with Krishna is through Guru, Siksha or Diksha. But without Siksha, Diksha doesn't make any sense. Because there are so many, I'm talking outside of Parampara for now, there are so many so-called Gurus who give Diksha to a massive crowd of 3,000, all of you are initiated. That Diksha, without any training, without any proper understanding, without any teachings, has no meaning. So the relationship between Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru, if they are different persons, they can be different persons, they can be the same person. If they are different persons, then the Siksha Gurus work, Guru or Gurus, work with the Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is the main connection with the Parampara, the way it's in ISKCON. But without Siksha, one cannot realize that connection. So for all of us, this Srila Prabhupada is a very important connection. He's our Siksha Guru. So our Diksha Gurus should not and do not eclipse that relationship. Although he is Siksha Guru. But that doesn't mean that I have connection with Prabhupada in such a way that I don't need a Diksha Guru. That is also not true. So they have a very important role, that they give us proper knowledge, they train us in Vaishnava etiquettes, they help us understand Prabhupada's teachings carefully. Can be the same person, can be different persons. And one should not take more prominence than the other. But it's immaturity that we can only fit one, either this or that. Same, similar situation. Either oneness or difference. No, simultaneously. So maturity of a devotee is to know how to work with, how to serve, how to have multiple relationships that don't eclipse either of these. And our whole tradition is full of those. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, although initiated by Lord Nityananda, has very deep relationship with Rupa and Sanatana. Raghunath Das Goswami, although with Lord Chaitanya, has a very intimate relationship with Swarup Damodar Goswami. Two examples, there are many such. Is that?
Wow.
On that point? Okay. Okay, let me
so
let you finish.
The culture will speak to us louder than words from the
seat. Right.
So it seems to me that somehow or other there's been a culture that has evolved where the Diksha Gurus are very much worship at the level of Chakyavish Avatar or celebrity or something, and the Diksha Gurus are more down to earth and the persons that we go down. So if in fact the philosophy is that Shiksha and Diksha Gurus are equally important in our lives, why culturally do we make such, it seems to me, a huge distinction.
Why? I've also been asking myself this question. Why? I don't know the... I'm not speaking for ISKCON, but I'm speaking how I've understood it. In the history of our parampara, the role Prabhupada played is so significant in the way things manifested that in Prabhupada's purport, sometimes he uses singular, spiritual master, like that. And we have seen that after Srila Prabhupada, it's plural, there are spiritual masters. Not that in his case it was not like that, but so what happens is, either immaturely or however, that singular word sticks in so much, and it's usually, oh, that's the Diksha Guru. So, from the Guru's side, from our side, it's a topic that should be discussed and explored and, you know, talked about like this, that it's not the overemphasis on just the Diksha Guru. I mean, in general, that's a risky model, because if the Diksha Guru passes away, when the Diksha Guru, what does everyone else do? Lost? Then what happens? Our system should be, and at least I've heard it spoken like that, that there is so many Vaishnavas supporting us, and they all are treated as guru. or there should be. I don't have an answer. I'm just saying that, yes, I also understand it that way. On this point or a different point? Raise your hand if you have something to add on this point that we were talking. Yeah, Adela.
I was thinking, you mentioned before that through the Shiksha Guru, it's like wearing the lenses. Before that, Guru Shiksha kind of is a true Shiksha. You have to see through it. So it's not this or that. It's one without the other. You cannot, at least for me, I can approach a person not without hearing from you. I mean, when the strength of our relationship increases, I feel the direct relationship with my Shiksha.
Yeah, that, if that, I mean, the model is all right. The topic being discussed is, in general, as a culture, there is a predominance of overemphasis on the position of the Diksha Guru, that the Shiksha Gurus are either ignored or undermined or not even noticed. We're not saying whether there is a need for friendly or not. I mean, that's not the question. You know, nobody has a... we don't have titles. Such and such person is a Shiksha Guru. Such and such person is a Diksha Guru. We don't have like that. We have a title. Such and such person is a Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master. So they're recognized. But what about others? That's the point being discussed. What about others? From the beginning, who either take care of us or instruct us, you know, they may be friendly, still, they have a very prominent role. I've seen the other side also. The connection with the Shiksha Guru is so intense that the Diksha Guru is somewhere way back there as a figurehead personality, and, you know, other than pranam mantra, there is nothing else in the relationship. That is also risky. I've seen that also. Yeah. Same point? Anything on the same point? Yes, different something? Well, simultaneous oneness and difference. I don't know so much about biblical teachings, so I don't want to comment on that. At least for us, simultaneous oneness and difference. Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastra. Samasta Shastra. It doesn't say Bhagavad Gita or only Hindu or Vedas. Samasta Shastra. They say that Sakshat Dharitvena, that the Guru is as should be, because he's a representative, kintu priya, priyavevatasya, prabhor, priyavevatasya, should be treated as good as God, but they're distinct. They're very distinct. Individuality, yet oneness. Oneness, yet individuality. Everything either is Krishna or Krishna's. Our teaching, Vyasadeva's teachings, is called Shakti Parinam Vada, transformations of energies. The other is called Mayavada. Shakti Parinam Vada is that there is a Supreme Personality, distinct and individual in his own identity, yet everything is emanating from him, that has the sameness with him, yet has individual distinctions of its own. जन्माद्यस्य यतः अन्वयद इतरश्च अर्थेषु अभिज्ञ स्वराट इंडिविजुअल फुली इंडिपेंडेंट येट एवरीथिंग इज कमिंग फ्रॉम हिम. सेम थिंग इज ओम पूर्णमद पूर्णमिदम पूर्णात पूर्णमुदच्यते. फ्रॉम द कंप्लीट एंड होल emanations that are complete and whole manifest, yet he remains individual and complete. Just because there are completes emanating, it doesn't obviate or negate the existence of the original source. The Mayavadis or impersonalists or monists, they misinterpret the Eko Bahushyam. It's a Sanskrit aphorism, a Vedic aphorism, that the one becomes many. So they take it wrongly that the one, and they use this example, you have a sheet of paper, you tear the paper into many little pieces, and now you have many pieces, and the original paper is gone. That is why there is so many individuals, but they're all one. And that's a wrong understanding. Eko Bahushyam is from the Ishupanishad, that the Supreme, Janmadhyasayataha, yet has his own individual existence. Although the one becomes many, the one still remains. So how to get our Christian friends to understand? How to get anyone understand if they are not willing to move from their position? I've been reading the Mahabharata, the story of Dhritarashtra. One of the first persons to instruct Dhritarashtra was Akrura. Akrura came to Dhritarashtra and chastised him. Please don't do this. Your son is really behaving badly. He's plotting to kill the Pandavas, and the Pandavas are very, very gentle souls. Please don't do something. Don't turn a blind eye. And it's described, Dhritarashtra goes through this dilemma. He can see what Duryodhana is doing is not correct. But he cannot say anything to Duryodhana. Why? Because he himself is attached to the throne of Hastinapur. So that attachment is so strong that he cannot chastise his son. Because he knows somewhere he wants to have the Kurus have the stronghold on the throne of Hastinapur. So he just sits there, and all the good instructions that he gets don't touch his heart. So this is the difference between fanaticism and open-mindedness. If you're fanatic, if one is fanatic, you can say anything you like. The day before Rath Yatra, I met a person in the park. We were with Madhuva Prabhu finalizing, you know, where the tents go, how we want to do it, when we start. So one man walked up to me, showed me our bookmark and said, can you read this for me? I said, it says Chariot Festival of India. I explained and I said, here's the mantra. You know, this is what we'll be singing, this is the mantra. Please repeat. He said, no, I have my own. I said, oh, okay, very nice. And then he looked at Jagannath's face and he said, who's this? I said, this is Jagannath. And he will be here tomorrow. He asked me, do you worship him? That was a cue for me that this is the end of this conversation. I said, yes, we do. He said, man, if your religion teaches you to be peace, good luck to you. And he walked away. To be peaceful. Teaches you how to be peaceful. That's it. You know, it was curtain down. In his mind it was clear that he will not hear anymore because this is worshipping a person, how can God, you know, all that comes into idol worship. That was what was going on inside. So no open-minded. But we met so many persons. I saw Mataji give out, I saw Ladini Shakti give out, I was giving out, I met a person with a dog on the street and said, oh, we're having a festival. 2 hours later I saw her in the bookstore buying books and talking to the devotees. Open, a little bit more open. Okay. No, the man talks about controller and controlled. So one who is a controller is independent. One who is controlled is naturally dependent. No, I said Krishna is not affected by Maya. I didn't say by us. Yeah. Why Krishna is affected by what we do? When we offer something lovingly, he is affected by it. I hope. That is why he reciprocates. We didn't say Krishna is everything. Prabhupada says they also are misled in thinking that everything is the super soul. Our teaching is that Krishna, everything is Krishna and Krishna's energies. And they have a simultaneous oneness and difference relationship. And everything is sourced from Krishna. In that sense, he is independent because he is the source of everything. Even though he is the source of everything, it does not mean that he does not have his own individual existence. He has. There are the Purusha avatars, there is the material energy on the energetic side expansion, there are the living entities. Yet he is himself. Goloka eva nivasati. He is himself in Goloka. Is he in every atom? Yes. Does it mean because he's in every atom, he's not in Goloka Vrindavan? No, he's there in Goloka Vrindavan as well. Yeah, so affected is that although he is independent, he can voluntarily give up his independence. And Krishna says, I give it up to serve my devotee. Whatever my devotee says, I will do. But he has the independence to not do so. Just because I come and ask Krishna, Krishna, make me something, give me something. It's not that he has to. But Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanihi, declared boldly that my devotee shall never perish. And our acharyas explain that the reason Krishna is asking Arjuna to say it is because once Arjuna says it, then Krishna will always carry it out. That's how he gives up his independence in love. And from our side, we have independent ideas and conceptions and desires. And love means I give that up to fulfill Krishna's will. So love is an exchange of subordinating our will for the beloved's will, Krishna's will. Okay, thank you. Yes, final one and we'll stop. Okay.
The problem is that
I don't have any comment on that. You had your hand raised or something. You speak up loud because others cannot. Just a little qualification, that dependence should not be misunderstood as incompleteness.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he's complete, but yet, see, we've gone away from him, and so our love is the one thing that he wishes to have still. And so that's why it's so important.
Yeah, so I just want to find, agreed, just so that for a wider audience, the word dependence, the way it applies to us, does not apply to him.
Yeah.
That's the only. Yet he is hankering, he is raso vaisaha, all that is true. But he's not depending on it like we do. Like the word dependence, the way it applies to us. It is that he is independent, and then he has Lakshmi sahasra shata sambhrama sevyamanam. He is complete in himself, yet he is always eager to have relationships. Because ontologically every living entity has a relationship with him. And when a living entity is conditioned and not in relationship with him, that is something that he is concerned about. So this is the inconceivable nature of the Lord, that although he is completely satisfied in himself, yet he has this heaviness or anxiety about a living entity who's lost. Yeah. On our side, the dependence is without that, you know, we're not in and of ourselves completely satisfied. The Prabhupada gives in the translation, when we hear qualitatively the same, Prabhupada says, both of us are spiritual. That's the qualitative. We are spiritual entities. Krishna is a spiritual entity. Krishna has, according to Rupa Goswami's teaching, 64 qualities and unlimited. We may have a max of 50. And that too in infinitesimal. But the qualitative oneness is that both of us are spiritual entities. Krishna is spiritual entity and we are spiritual entities. That's the oneness. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Oh, Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra Maharani will be returning to their place of residence later this morning. So if you'd like to offer them your obeisances and gratitude, this would be the time, and they'll be leaving shortly, I guess. They live north of the temple in a suburb called Lake Bluff.